It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Garibaldi Red podcast. I'm Max Hayes, your host. And as Forest played well, but many will see as a missed opportunity yesterday as the Reds lose 2-0 to arguably probably the best team in the world, Man City. A Chris Wood sitter, a great performance from Ola Aina, but maybe questionable substitutions from Nuno to discuss all of this and more. First of all, joined by Reds correspondent Sarah Clapson, who is holding out again after having the lurgy. So, Sarah, thanks for joining us, and we hope you feel better soon. How
are you? I'm going to try not to cough all the time, but
you'll have to hover over the mute button.
Yes, yeah, my mouse is there ready. Don't worry, it's trying to spare everybody.
I think I'm coming down with it as well. It'd be like a flu-like podcast, this. And also joined by actor and Forest fan, Coronation Street from Bohemian Rhapsody as well, Pat Lally. Pat, good to see you. You make your debut on the podcast. How are you feeling?
Indeed. I'm all right. I'm in good company, so I think everything's going to be fine.
Good stuff. Right, let's start then with our kind of general thoughts. We were all there yesterday. Sarah, kick us off, really. Forest kind of came out very well, almost a rapid start, especially when Ola Aina kind of chased that ball and the City ground was roaring. Take us with kind of from your general thoughts, and then we'll breach out from there.
I thought it was a really good, positive performance. I think if you kind of boiled it down and you looked at it and thought it was a bit Groundhog Day in that missed chances, set piece. But actually, it was so much more than that. It was really positive, a lot of intent, real conviction, confidence. I thought the formation change worked really well. Some good individual performances, Ola Aina mentioned, but quite a few others as well, I thought. But collectively as well, a real good, solid team performance. Just missed chances. If any of those Chris Wood opportunities go in, and a few weeks ago you would have bet your house on him scoring at least one of them, it would have been a completely different game. Deserved something from it, should have got something from it, but can take a lot of positives and a lot of confidence, I think, and that has to be the starting point for the final three games.
Do you agree there, Pat? I think when I went on Twitter last night, which is always an interesting place to go after, you know, a Forest game, defeat, win or draw, a lot of people actually said that City came out very slow and that they're almost there for the taking, and that maybe it was a missed opportunity at stages as well.
I think so. I think it was a very much below par Man City that we saw yesterday. And those, I think we'll go back to those missed chances quite a bit. And you're doing your house and everything in between on Chris Wood putting those away. You wouldn't want them to fall to anyone else. I'm oddly frustrated at coming out at a 2-0 defeat. Because if you would have said before the game, you're going to lose 2-0 to City, you'd have said, okay, you know, you'd be worried about the goal difference, taking a bit of a hammering, but you think 2-0, okay, you take that. But weirdly, I'm coming out feeling frustrated. I think it was a huge missed opportunity yesterday.
I tend to agree with that. We are live on Facebook and YouTube, so be sure to get your comments in. This one from Keith says, decent performance yesterday, maybe good formation for the rest of the season. Missed too many chances, though. Sadly, highlight was Aina leaving Walker for dead in a foot race. Yeah, he did that a lot, actually, yesterday.
I thought that as well.
Yeah, it was good to see. I also wanted to touch on this part as well. Were you surprised to see, you know, the City ground atmosphere was rocking, particularly in the first half? Were you surprised to see that the fans boo very loudly? I think the Man City fans joined in as well, but boo the Premier League anthem, given the kind of week and controversy that Forest have had recently?
No, I wasn't surprised. And I'm glad they did. To be honest, you've got a voice. Use it. You've got a huge platform. You're on a major broadcaster. getting heard. And I'm pretty sure I've read afterwards that a lot of the tributes, should we say, to Gary Neville and Carragher and all that were kind of muted out or whatever. But I think initially the booing at the beginning for the Premier League, yep, fair play to the fans.
Yeah, it was very loud, actually. Let's touch on, kind of just, I suppose, Sarah, when you look at actually the missed chances, as Pat mentioned a short while ago, particularly in Chris Wood, and you bet your house on him to score. When you are in a relegation battle like that, it's just incredibly frustrating because City are the best team in the world and they don't give you many chances and you have to take just those slim chances that you get. And it is frustrating that we didn't take them yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, you don't get many opportunities in Premier League games anyway, and even less so against City because of what they are and how they play. Chris Wood has come to the rescue so many times already. I mean, Forrest would be in much worse off without his goals. So I don't think you can pin too much criticism on him alone. I mean, he wasn't the only one who missed chances. Nico Williams had that one in the first few minutes. And gosh, if that had gone in, it would have been a brilliant start. And Forrest could have kicked on from there. And perhaps the whole game would have been different. Callum Hudson-Odoi had a couple as well. It wasn't Chris Wood alone, but he's were real gilt-edged ones from close range, the kind of ones that you think, how was he missed? It's harder to miss than score some of those. Murillo's as well, from the corner, he had a really good opportunity. It's just that if you don't take them, you run the risk of getting punished, particularly against a team like City who have that ruthless streak. I mean, missed chances and not making the most of opportunities are something that we've spoken about a few times. It's why Forest are where they are. They have chances in games and don't always capitalise on them. And I guess the big thing is to do so in the final three games, because you look at Sheffield United away, Burnley away, Chelsea at home, got to make the most of the opportunities in those games. And then I guess we can look back at the season as a whole and reflect on why it hasn't gone how perhaps Forrest would have liked. But the main thing is to do it in these final three games now.
Yeah, this comment from Ian, actually. The key now is momentum. Plenty of positives yesterday. Time now for every player to show leadership qualities and be accountable. This is now in our hands. That's an interesting comment, actually, Pat. And it is in Forest's hands, isn't it, really? We might get points back this week, but even if we don't, we're still just ahead of Luton. You know, no disrespect to Sheffield United, but next week we're playing pretty much arguably the worst team in the league, going from playing the best team in the league probably to playing the worst team in the league. It really is in Forest's hands now. There almost is no excuses in a way.
No, there's not. If you were, I mean, going after the Everton game last week, I thought the performance was dreadful. It was terrible. I thought the first 45 minutes yesterday was better than the entire game. An effort that Forest put in this week. So if they carry yesterday, if they play like they did yesterday for the remaining three games, they'll be fine, as long as they actually score and put those chances away, which I'm sure against a Sheffield and a Burnley, I think they're going to give you a couple more chances than a Manchester City will. Depending, you know, which Chelsea turns up, we don't know. We've got no idea. If Cole Palmer's playing, then, you know, I think it's going to be a tough one. But it's at home. It's the last game of the season. Who knows? But I think we have to go with Sheffield United, looking at getting 3 points, I think, Saturday.
Yeah, totally agree. Let's kind of look at those, well, I suppose, key standout performances in a way, Sarah. And particularly want to give us, just seen a few comments come in for him as well, particularly want to give a shout out to Willy Bolly. Mm-hmm. Just thought so solid at the back. And oh, I don't think Murillo had his best game in a Forest shirt. Obviously, he goes off and, you know, hope that there's nothing too much in that. The same with Nico. But before we touch on those, I just thought Willy Bolly came in. He showed, as you know, that comment from Ian there, showed leadership qualities, showed what Forest arguably need in a relegation dogfight.
Yeah, I thought he was excellent. Really good. Put his body on the line a few times. He just makes such a difference. He's commanding, his presence, his height, when it comes to the set pieces. It just, having him there, I think it just gives everybody a bit of a lift and a bit more confidence. I think it helps Murillo as well, having Bolly alongside him. And I thought the three actually worked really well with Niakate in there. Hopefully the injury isn't too bad to Bolly and to Murillo and to Nico Williams as well, because that would be a real blow to lose any one or more of those three. I just think Forest were really solid and didn't give away a lot to Man City. If you look at the saves Matt Sells had to make, maybe a couple, but not as many as perhaps you'd have thought he might have had to against City. And that was real testament to the defence in front of him, to the players in front of the defence, and just the whole organisation, how collectively solid Forest were. And I think Bolly was a big part of that. I think he just helped organise things, and he did get forward a lot as well. He seemed to like want to play out from the back a fair bit, and I thought at one point he was going to push forward and try and score. So I think he just made such a massive difference. If he can be fit for the final three games, you'd feel a lot more confident, I think, going into the likes of Sheffield United away and Burnley away particularly. He's just such a big presence.
Yeah, I think you need it kind of on the pitch, and I think it also transpires off the pitch in a way the fans almost feel confident with a decent back four and obviously a keeper, which we've seen recently in Matt Sells. I wanted to actually touch on the final third in a way, and you mentioned there Bolly getting forward and looking like he was going to score, and I listened to Paul Merson, Pat, on Sky yesterday, and he said it's a bit of a worrying almost recipe for Forest when you're playing football games well, like we have done yesterday, like we did arguably against Wolves, and not winning the games and not almost scoring enough goals. And it is a little bit of a concern, especially when the final third were kind of on fire recently. You look at Alanga, Hudson-Odoi, and when Wood was in form, and yesterday it just seemed like all three were very, very quiet.
Has Paul Merson ever said anything positive about...
I don't know, Pat. Maybe. I'll have to
I don't think he has, so it doesn't surprise me that him and his band of little merry men won't say positive things about us. But again, just to go back to it yesterday, you would have, to put your house on Chris Wood to do that. But you're going to have to. If we don't win the games that we should do for the final three, like I said, Chelsea's a 50-50, I think, then we don't deserve to stay up. You've got to put those chances away, especially against the teams that are in and around you.
And do you think it is we talk about a lot, Pat, things like conceding from corners and not utilising corners and things like that. But you can talk about the refereeing decisions and VAR, and we always go back to...
Don't get me started on that.
And we go back to the other factors surrounding it, but... it is in Forest's hands, and we have to do better. You simply have to score goals and win football games.
Yeah, I think the whole set piece thing has been a huge Achilles heel, I think, under Nuno and Steve Cooper. Hopefully they stay up. I think they will. There has to be a huge reshuffling of the pack, I think, in the summer. Excuse me. This set piece coach, or whatever he is, whatever he's dressed up as. I think he needs to go home and change his outfit and come dress as somebody else. Because it's clearly not working.
Mm.
So there's so much that needs readdressing. You have to, I go back to that old saying, you have to revalue what you're devaluing. And there's so much that's been devalued, I think, from the top to the bottom. So hopefully, fingers crossed, they end up staying up and they end up having a reshuffle of the pack. Whether Nuno's the right man for next season, I don't know. Maybe that's another discussion for another day.
Yes. Yeah, maybe it is. We had an interesting discussion with Steve and Dave about that on Friday's podcast, which was a bit doom and gloom. It's a bit more positive on a Monday morning today. I wanted to kind of give this stat that I looked at last night, because I don't get out much. Forest have had more shots in both their Premier League games versus Man City this season. They're the only second team to outshoot a Pep Guardiola side, both home and away, in a season in his top flight managerial career since Real Madrid in 2009-10. So Forrest created so much in the box yesterday, just didn't take chances. And when you look at XG and the conversion rate and all of that, Forrest had an expected goals of 2.07 compared to City's 0.89. It's the first time they've been pushed under almost one XG per game for a long, long time. But ultimately, Forrest didn't score, so we can talk about the stats all day long, really.
Maxwell?
Yes?
It's the little victories.
Yeah, true. Yeah, we can put that in the we can put that in the trophy cabinet at the end of the season.
Moral victory.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. Sarah, let's touch on the injuries that Forrest seemed to pick up yesterday, which was worrying. What's the latest on that? What did Nuno say after his press conference or during it?
I mean, he couldn't say a lot, really. They were waiting to assess all three of them. I think the question mark is whether the substitutions could have been made sooner, particularly Nico Williams. I mean, he'd gone off. He was clearly not going to be able to continue. To defend a corner with 10 men, you don't want to be doing that, particularly against Man City. So should Gonzalo Montiel have come on quicker? I think he probably should, knowing that Forest were going to be without Nico. And it obviously affected the marking and who was supposed to be picking up who and who was doing what job. So I think you have to put a bit of a question mark around that one. Same with Murillo as well. He clearly hurt himself in a tackle and yet he stayed on. And then I think it was understandable a little bit that Erling Haaland got away from him for that second goal because he was clearly struggling, Murillo. So again, perhaps could have come off a bit sooner. Hopefully they're nothing serious. I mean, Murillo and Nico Williams did immediately go off down the tunnel for treatment. So they didn't look particularly comfortable, but at least they could hobble off the pitch, I guess. Same with Bolly. I mean, Bolly's only just come back, so I guess you could understand him not lasting the full 90 minutes anyway. But I think it's going to be a case of having to wait and see. At least there's no midweek fixture, so it's a hopefully a bit of chance for rest and recovery. And if they can just go out there on Saturday, then it would just make such a big difference. So hopefully it's not serious, but I think we'll have to wait and see on that one.
Yeah, and I suppose the three players that Sarah mentions there, Pat, they have been instrumental to Forest this season, haven't they? You know, Nico Williams and Murillo and the same with obviously Bolly, even though he's only been involved short time recently after coming back from injury.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just a shame. I mean, I've seen similar stuff online last night and this morning about if Williams would have... Should they have kept him on the pitch? Should they have been a little bit cuter? And, you know, cells maybe, I don't know, just going down or whatever, just buying a bit of time where you can actually make the sub. But if that goal doesn't go in, we're not discussing that.
Yeah.
Same with Murillo. I don't know. In hindsight, we should have moved a lot quicker. But in making those changes, but again, it's just one of those things.
It's always easy in hindsight, isn't it, when you particularly when goals come after moments like that.
That's right. I think there will be a huge bit. Hopefully they're not out for the final three games.
Yeah,
but again, if they don't happen, we're not having that discussion. But I think it's just bad luck. I think Forest were really unfortunate yesterday. And they should have got, I think they should have got a point. They didn't. They tried. But tried at half time, I was thinking, this is all right. I'm enthused by what I'm watching on the pitch. It's just unfortunate those guys that we're talking about took the knocks. And let's hope that they're okay for the final few games.
Mm. You mentioned there, actually, Pat, about kind of stuff online and a little bit of criticism towards Nuno. Maybe he should have made substitutions quicker and leaving almost injured players on the pitch for too long. It has been a bit of a story. It has been a bit of a negative of Nuno, hasn't it, recently? Is maybe just questionable substitutions, whether they're at the right time. Do you feel like that, Pat, sometimes? Do you feel like Nuno needs to be a bit sharper sometimes on the touchline and almost making substitutions quicker, given that, you know, Forest are playing you know, such huge games at the minute that are taking a lot out of the players. And just to get fresh legs on, we just need to be quicker almost at almost making key substitutions.
Yes, but again, you know, everybody who's in the stand, me included, everybody in the outside, we're all experts. You know, or we think we are, and you know, the ref should make this decision and make that the manager should make this and that decision. Sorry. I mean, it goes back to playing certain players for certain games. The physical players that are suited for different games, and the quicker players that are suited for, you know, teams that play with a high line and you can hit them on the break and stuff. But we are where we are. There's not a lot we can do about it, unfortunately. And let's hope that for the final few games that he does make the right decision. I think he got his tactics spot on yesterday. Absolutely spot on. I looked at that starting 11 and I thought, I think we might get overrun in midfield. And then, like I said again, to reiterate at halftime, I thought, this is all right. They're playing really, really well. His tactics was spot on. The subs thing could be up for debate. Personally, I wouldn't have took Elanga off unless he's got a bit of a niggle. I would have kept him on for a team like that. You really need his pace, because you bring Rayner on and then you've got Hudson-Odoi. You're kind of thinking, where's that burst of pace coming from? You know?
Yeah. What have you made to Rayner recently, Sarah? There was a lot of calls, wasn't there, from not just Forest fans, but it seemed like kind of American national team fans calling for Forest and was giving him a chance. But he hasn't really contributed lots, but can you argue that he hasn't maybe had a fair almost crack at the whip?
Yeah, I think it's probably a bit of both. I think you need a run of games and you need to get some kind of momentum and rhythm, particularly when you've not played a lot. If you're then going to start making an impact, you need a run. He hasn't had that. And then the pressure's on to make a big contribution and try to stand out when you do come on the from off the bench. So I think he's looked bright in spells. He's shown a few little glimpses, but not really had a massive influence that you would want from him. I mean, he's clearly got talent. He's clearly got ability. He's shown that for the US national side. He just hasn't really been able to do it in a Forest shirt. And part of that is the players that he's had ahead of him and trying to get a chance and an opportunity. And it's been difficult for him to get any kind of look in. I think he can feel a little bit hard done by, but he hasn't really stood out. He hasn't really grasped his opportunities by the scruff of the neck, which is what you need to do when you're trying to force your way into the team.
Yeah, for sure. And I think you need, you know, we talk about all the time leaders on the pitch in the final three games that show it. And I just don't know. I just think, no disrespect to Rayner, but you know, I just think that he probably isn't the player to be there. I think, you know, always start a langer over him unless there's an injury shout there. Pat, wanted to touch on that, actually. We talk about it a lot in the podcast, and I think he's talked about a lot on the you know, between Forest fans at the minute, is about that leadership on the pitch and about having those almost home, not like almost academy homegrown values, but just having that leadership and fight and spirit on the pitch, because the final three games are so big and you need players that are literally going to put everything on the line for you. And you look at, you know, Yates obviously comes into question a lot and fans are divided about him, but Forest do need to start players often that know what it means and will leave everything on the line in, you know, simply to keep the football club in the Premier League.
I think so. I mean, if you look at, I mean, Gibbs White's performance against Fulham was just simply outstanding. Outstanding. His leadership, everything. It was just everywhere. So if you can even carry, I think, just an ounce of that passion and that drive and that tenacity into these final three games, it's vital. It's vital that these players, I think especially not just the homegrown ones, I think the British players know what it means to play in the Premier League. I don't know if you you're doing your test a bit late for team bonding now, but to hopefully now let some of the foreign players know what it means. I'm sure they do. I'm sure they get it. They turn up on a Saturday and they, you know, see the passion that spills over from the fans. I'm sure they get it. But you're talking Gibbs White, Yates. Who else would you have on that list, Maxwell?
Bolly.
Harry Toffolo, probably. Nico Williams, you know. So they're just kind of a few. I think almost players that know what it means to the club. And that's no disrespect to the others, but, you know, it's simply true that when Yates came on for Forest against Everton last week, I turned and said to my dad, I was like, God, Yates is the only player in this squad that actually got promoted with the football club originally.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, you know, which is mental to say, whereas last season we did have more players that were homegrown. You saw what it meant to, he comes under a lot of criticism, but you saw what it meant to Joe Worrell on the final, one of the final games when he survived against Arsenal, and he was there and Cooper was comforting him because he, it means so much to those players.
Oh, that hand on the shoulder moment, wasn't it?
Yeah. It was like an, it was an iconic picture that will go down in Forest history. Yeah, I think we miss sometimes Cooper for those moments. Let's look ahead to a big week, Sarah. Another big week for Forest. Never a quiet or a dull one. Points deduction appeal week. Forest reports came out last night that Forest are expected to hear in the next few days. So difficult question, Sarah. But can you see Forest getting any points back? And yeah, just kind of your take on obviously another huge week.
I think, I mean, the club are hopeful. I mean, they appealed for that reason. Whether they do get any points back or not, I'm not sure. I mean, what we've learned from the independent commissions that have heard Forest case and Everton's case is that every single one is different. And you can't predict what one hearing is going to say, what one group of... I mean, it's three different people every time. So... it's so difficult to read anything into it. If you look at what happened in the original hearing, I don't think there's a lot of leeway there for Forest to make their case again. But again, it's in front of a different hearing. So who knows? It's so difficult to predict. I think you have to kind of take it that if they do get any points back, great, a huge bonus. Even if it's just one, it could make a massive difference. The big thing is to have it sorted and have the clarity, because I think that hanging over the squad has just not been good. Nuno's spoken about it. So, excuse me, having it all done, knowing what needs to be done, knowing how many points they have in the table, I think that's the biggest thing to take from it. And if any points do get given back, then that's the bonus.
Yeah, I will also add, it teased me up quite nicely for a cheeky plug, the podcast that me and Sarah did with Robert, the financial expert who serves as a board member for the Forest Trust. He's actually submitted, as an independent, you're allowed to submit evidence to the new appeal, basically, as Sarah mentions there, the new three, whoever they will be. He submitted, alongside the Forest Supporters Trust, basically almost a list of evidence and a report into the whole appeal. So that will contribute some way, shape or form and may well help Forest get points back. But I'd highly recommend you go and listen to our podcast with him. And he literally explains everything from top to bottom, but he might make you a lot more angry given his findings. Pat, it is a big week and you've got Sheffield United on Saturday. Difficult. It's a difficult game away from home. We know what Forest are like away from home. And you just hope that even, you know, like Sarah said, if you get a point back, the confidence you could take into that game with the travelling fans, it would be huge.
How many away games have they won in two seasons? Is it three?
Yeah. So you're not confident then.
It isn't.
Well, no.
And you know, even though they're... You knew this before Sheffield United were relegated. Because it's Forest and the history between the two... They're going to turn up. They're really going to turn up. The fans are going to turn up, and you think the players. There's Benny Osborne, Jack Robinson. There's another one. Who's the third one that plays for them?
Mohodzic.
Yeah.
Who's it?
Arma Hodžić.
Yeah. So I think it's going to be very, very difficult. I'm just hoping that Taiwan's on the bench. Last 10 minutes, equaliser or a winner, calling it now.
We'll clip that up.
We live in hope.
Yeah, we do.
But again, just to go back, it's so bizarre because from week to week, you know, you could be so deflated. Again, to go back to the Everton game, you're so deflated, and then you go back to from yesterday, and you think, oh, play like this and we'll be fine. Mm-hmm. So again, I think we can say about which Chelsea is going to turn up, but which Forest is going to turn up. You know?
It's the inconsistency, isn't it?
That's absolutely it. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it is the inconsistency. We'll see. Go on to close, because I seem to be doing it at the minute. Pat, are you hopeful that Forest will stay up? Do you think the squad and the team and Nuno, they've got enough fight and spirit to simply stay in the Premier League?
I believe so. What they've got and what they've shown, they haven't shown it on a regular basis. But if they show that for the final three games, we'll be fine. I mean, again, to what you guys, Sarah was talking about, the points deduction. If we get any of those, if we get 2 points back, we're 3 points clear. That's a win. Hmm. So that's huge at this point. So, I mean, you don't want to hang your hat on getting any of those back. But if we do, huge bonus, like you guys said, huge bonus. But I think we'll stay up.
Are you hopeful, Sarah?
Well, you have to be hopeful.
Yeah. The hope that kills us.
Yeah,
exactly. I think it's going back to the same point, really. It's that if Forest play like they did yesterday, they've got a great chance. But it's a big if, particularly away from home, where, I mean, the performances haven't been great. Results haven't been. It seems to be against the top teams that the performances are really good. It's against the teams in and around where it's a bit more of a struggle. And that's maybe a little bit of a concern looking at the final fixtures. I think a lot of it is going to, can they deal with the pressure? Can the players cope with the pressure that comes with those kind of games? Can they handle the scrutiny that will come with it? Can they deal with it, particularly away from home? Because obviously it's very different going to Bramall Lane and Turf Moor than at the City Ground, when you've got the whole, I mean, we know what difference the fans can make going to those kind of grounds against a Sheffield United team that would probably be absolutely determined to send Forest down, I'm sure. I think it's going to be really difficult, and a lot of it is going to be mental, how the players cope with all that. And that's when you need your big characters. You need your Murillos, your Bollies, your Gibbs Whites. Everybody needs to be playing at their best. But so much confidence, so much positivity to take from Saturday. It's a case of, that's the template, that's the standard. Do it again and again and again. And then there's a great chance.
Go on, Pat, you want to come in there?
Yeah, I was just as you were talking then, sir, I was thinking, because Gibbs White obviously spent a while, didn't he, at Sheffield?
Yeah.
Obviously clearly playing against us in the playoff semis. But it will mean a lot to him, I think, as well.
Yeah.
Specifically, out of a lot of the players. So I'm hoping he really steps up to the plate, runs the show, does what he does, and everything just comes off.
Yeah. I think if anybody's going to drag Forrest over the line, it's going to be Morgan Gibbs-White. I mean, he's done it for the past few weeks. He's really stepped up to the plate. Go back to that Fulham game when he was absolutely sensational. And he's done it a few times. He's the talisman. He's the one to look to. He's the one that's going to drag the team over the line. And I think you're right. I think it does mean, I think wearing the armband means a lot to him. I think he likes having that responsibility and that the spotlight on him. And I think he will really be fired up for the Sheffield United game, but also for the final three, because I think he wants it. He wants to be part of a team, leading out a team that gets over the line. I think it would mean a lot to him.
Yeah, yeah, no, it certainly would. We'll have to see. I've just seen a comment here which has made me laugh, from Keith, which says, the only thing we're consistent at is being inconsistent. Yeah, You're right, Keith.
Good lad,
absolutely
Keith.
Absolutely right. This summer, you know, this summer at least there'll be no. You know, I'm actually really looking forward to not talking about set pieces every week. So I'm really hoping. I'm really hoping that it. Go on, Pat.
Sorry, mate. To rudely interrupt. It's nice sitting here today and talking about a somewhat decent performance and not talking about crap refereeing decisions, VAR. You know, everything's all of it. Oh, you know, the everything's doom and gloom. But I think there's optimism.
Yeah,
and it feels nice for a change.
Yeah, and this could be the turning point. I can remember when Forest lost to Liverpool last year, and I think it was 3-2, wasn't it? And everyone walked out of Anfield, and weirdly, you felt positive, and that was the game after we'd lost to Leeds, I think, and everything was doom and gloom, and then we went and survived. So, fingers crossed that happens. We'll have to see. Right, that does us nicely. Pat, appreciate your time. First time regular.
Thanks for having me, guys. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Good. Hope you come back again. Yeah. Hope you enjoyed the Garibaldi.
I might not get an invite.
Nah, maybe. You might be on the reserve list. You might be on the reserve list. Yeah, after the summer. Sarah, thank you as always, and hopefully you shake the lurgy off soon.
Hopefully. Yeah, thank you.
Get well soon. We need you for Sheffield United. You're going to come on with Taiwo and score the winner. Calling it now. Right, that does us nicely. Leave us a review on Spotify and Apple Podcasts if you did enjoy. Thanks for all your comments as well on Facebook and YouTube. Have a great rest of your Monday. We will see you for hopefully when Forest get a few points back, but you never know. See you next time and have a brilliant week.